Yes. Thank you, preacher. One thing I did want to add to last night is when I get back, the Lord has laid on my heart to actually hire. Am I okay? They're waving at me. Okay. To hire a translator for deaf, for the deaf ministry there in Germany. We've got a deaf club there in Ingolstadt. And I don't know any Baptist church that is reaching the deaf in Germany. And by the way, sign language in German is not sign language in English. And I didn't know that. And I don't know if the other missionaries are aware of that, but in different parts of the world, sign language is different. And so if you had even a sign person that can do sign language here, you just can't go to Germany and do sign language there and expect them to understand that. Well, I had the privilege, of course, to go to Bible college with Brian Johnson. Now, some of you know Brian Johnson, and he's been spreading the rumor that Lithuanian chocolate is the best. Now, if you heard that, that's a real test of your spirituality, because you should be able to sense a lie from that it is a lie. And now, Brian, let me just share this real quickly. Brian and I went to Bible college together. And one day, I remember this as if it was yesterday, that the professor came in and he said, "Now, just take a blank sheet of paper, bring it up, everything else away." And he said, "We're going to have a pop quiz today. And it's 10 questions. If you get 7 or more right, you pass. If you get less, you fail." Okay? So it's a pass or fail situation. And so Brian and I take the test, and it was immediately graded. And then we got it immediately back, and on mine it said passed, and on Brian his said failed. But we had both gotten 8 questions right, and Brian said, "This isn't right." And he looked at mine and he said, "You got 8 questions right too, and you passed." And he wanted to go up to the professor with me. I didn't want to touch it, you know what I mean? I mean, I passed, leave it at that, okay? But he forced me to go up there with him. And the professor looked at us and he said, "Now, Brian," he said, "read what you wrote down in question number 5. Brian just read it. "I do not know the answer to this question." And he said, "Seth, now what did you put down in question number 5? And I just read it. "No." "Oh, whoa. He asked me first and I just read it. "I do not know the answer to this question." Then he asked Brian. And Brian just read it, and he read it, and it said, "I do not know the answer to this question either." Yeah. And just a couple of months ago, Brian was at the church there in Ingolstadt, and actually another friend of ours, Mark Preem, and they were preaching, and Brian was preaching. I was translating. He was preaching English. I was translating into German. And I told him, "Now," I said, "look, 12 o'clock, that's when we finish things up, around 12 o'clock, okay?" And he said, "Sure, no problem." Now, any of you that have preached or heard preaching and translating, that you know it just goes longer, of course, about double as long. And so he's preaching, and I'm translating. But by the way, every once in a while, I'd say amen. If he had a good point, I mean, those few good points that come out, you say amen. You know what I mean? And so it got towards the end of the message. He had really some good closing points. And I looked at him and I said, "Amen, Pharaoh." And he kind of startled him. And but as a good preacher, you just go on. Nothing shakes you up. You know what I mean? And so he kept on going. And I another good point. And I said, "Amen, Pharaoh." And boy, he just kept going. We closed the service, invitation, so forth, everything. Had fellowship, people started to leave then after a while. And then at the end, it was just him and I. And he looked at me and he said, "What was that about? What did you mean by amen, Pharaoh?" And I said, I said, "Didn't you get the message? Let my people go. Let my people go." Oh, man. Right before I left Germany, I'd say in a 5-week span, I preached 3 conferences. I preached a missions conference in Lithuania, and I preached 2 family camps in Germany. And all 3 times, I preached a series on the first parable that Jesus taught on, the four different grounds. Do you remember the four different grounds? The sower goes out to sow a seed, and some fell on the wayside. And he sowed further, and some fell on the stony ground. He sowed further, and some fell on the thorny ground. And then, praise the Lord, the fourth ground was the good ground. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach four sermons, but what was the difference between the three grounds prior to the good ground? And what distinctively made the difference that the good ground is the good ground? What was the difference? And the difference is very simply this. It bears fruit. The others did not bear fruit. Every once in a while, I'll come across a Christian and they'll say, you know, preacher, I'm just not the soul winning type person. Okay? It's kind of like saying, I'm not the fruit bearing type. I've got a good heart, and I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, but I don't, I'm not that fruit bearing type. And I want to say, but only the heart, which is the ground, which is the good ground, it does bear fruit. It bears fruit. And there's really nothing more I desire or that impresses me in a person to find out that a person is a soul winner. A soul winner. He that winneth souls is wise. And listen, a mission conference isn't just about you collectively as a body, you collectively as a church, getting together and just writing a check and sending it to the other side of the world and expecting a missionary to do something that you're not willing to do here. Do you understand that? And if you can ever get a hold of the concept that God expects you to be the good ground here, you'll have a fervor, listen, and you'll have a zeal to see it in the area and in the region and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Tonight, the Lord has laid a sermon on my heart. Really, I oftentimes preach to colleges or young people. So I've got the young people right here. I'm watching you guys, okay? But watch. I love preaching to young people. Soft, moldable hearts. And then I look at you guys back there. Yeah, I know. Now, but open your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Find Hebrews, go a little further. James. 1st, 2nd Peter. Keep on going. 1st John. Now put something here, hold something here. We're going to tie some truths together and then tie them together, and you'll see why this has all to do about bearing fruit and the difference it will make in a Christian's life. Let me ask you this, before we read our text, have you ever considered eternity? You ever think about eternity? Seems like the older they get, the more I think about eternity. I think about the Lord coming back. I think about receiving a new body. I think about heaven. And I know we don't have everything or know everything that there is to know about heaven. But listen, often when we think about heaven and we think about eternity, we limit our thinking to where we are going to be. Now, that is vitally important, where a person spends eternity. And oftentimes we'll ask somebody, I got to ask numerous people traveling now that were beside me on the plane, if you die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And what do you base that upon? And you and I, growing up and being here in a Baptist church, and if you have a testimony of salvation, you know that hinges upon what we do with Christ here and now in this lifetime. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Solely upon Christ and the work he has done for us on Calvary. Let me ask you this. Have you ever considered what you'll be? Have you ever considered how you'll be? Have you ever considered why you will be the way you will be, never to be changed? That'll be our subject tonight. Look with me, let's read our text, 1 John in chapter 3. John, the human writer, he's, of course, moved, instructed to what to write down by the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I see him in my mind just almost laying the pen down, and he is so in awe that you and I are the children and the sons of God. Now, that's amazing. That is amazing. But as many as received him, 1 John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be a child, Abba, Father, a son of God. And he says, watch further on, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And beloved, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. Lord, we realize the arm of flesh will fail us. We realize we cannot do anything out of our own strength. I, as the preacher tonight, I can't see the heart. I can't touch the heart. And I believe exactly when you said, for without me, ye can do nothing, I believe that that's exactly what you meant. And surely Solomon was no higher, never any higher, when he said the words, I am like as a child, knowing whether how to go out or in. Lord, we must trust you. Lord, that you might do the work, that you might communicate the message, that you might deal with the heart. Lord, that those that are here, that they might have ears to hear, to take in, to hide in their hearts your word, to digest it, to meditate upon it, to give heed, to obey. Lord, may you do the work in the heart. We'll give you the praise and the honor for it. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Somebody says, well, preacher, you asked the question, what will be in heaven? What will be for eternity? Now, if you're saved, that's for you, okay? If you're saved, this is for you. What you'll be. And you might say, well, the Bible says right here, it says at the end of verse 2, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen, just real quickly. Romans 6:5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So someone says, well, that's pretty easy to answer, preacher. Are we already done? Well, be like Christ. That is true. But did you notice that he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be? He basically says this, I don't know the whole story. I don't know exactly how we are going to be, but I do know this, we'll be like Christ. Let me ask you this. Will there be distinction and differences in heaven? Does the Bible not clearly indicate that some will shine with a brighter glory? For instance, those that turn many to righteousness. Yes, it does. Turn with me, if you would. Now, keep something here. We're going to make a full circle and come right back. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, what is that saying? Okay, listen, there's heavenly bodies and there's earthly bodies. And they're not the same. That's basically what it's saying. Now watch, though it explains in verse 41, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. Now watch, for one star differs from another star in glory. Somebody says, what does it have to do with anything? Watch, verse 42 at the beginning. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now listen, if you're in Christ, He will raise you. He has given you eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, all stars, but none shine with the same glory. Scientists say that there are no stars that shine the same. Most of the stars we cannot even see with the naked eye. Have you ever heard this statement? I'll take something. I studied physics, have a degree in physics during or while the Lord was calling me, and then I surrendered to that and went to Bible college later on. But have you ever heard the statement, no two snowflakes are alike? Have you ever heard that? And I remember hearing that as a child, and I remember thinking, I never said anything, but I remember thinking, how do you know? You sound so intelligent, but what are you basing this on? No two snowflakes are alike. Could there not be a snowflake here in Germany and one over in Colorado Springs, and they're exactly alike? I want to say, have you ever taken a gazillion of these things and compared them to each other? How do you know? Well, see, today I understand why scientists consider snowflakes to be individual and that it be impossible that two be alike. And it's based upon how a snowflake is developed and grows. You see, a snowflake isn't just a snowflake, but a snowflake starts with the most minute particle of dust, something that the water can cling to and freeze. And then when it falls from heaven to earth, it grows. A scientific report might say like rapidly branching crystals. And it's developed. And based upon, listen, the variables it encounters while it's falling from heaven to earth, that is what makes its shape and form and develops the snowflake into what it will be when it lands on earth. Some of the most, I'd say most obvious factors that it would encounter would be what? Air turbulence, air temperature, impurities in the air, humidity. And it's very, listen, it's very easy then to see, watch young people, it's very easy to see that no snowflake will experience exactly what another snowflake experiences falling from heaven to earth. You see, it can start real cold and then get warmer and then get colder and temperature here and the wind is turning this way and the sun is coming in this way. Listen, and to say that one snowflake goes through what another snowflake goes through is like saying two people on earth have lived up or grown up in life and have the exactly same experiences and things they went through in life. That is impossible. That is impossible. You've experienced things I haven't experienced, and I've experienced things that you haven't experienced. I grew up with Brian. Good grief.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord, you know, brings sometimes people into our life to make us stronger.
Amen.
People we have to carry, pick up. No, I'm just kidding. Listen. But then we can also say this, that a snowflake carries in body a record that it went through. Now, friend, that I think is one of the best descriptions that you can give for the Christian life. Because a Christian, listen, a Christian isn't just somebody that's saved, but is somebody that has Christ-likeness and Christ-character. You know, a child is born with a nature, but it's not born with character. I've got two younger sisters, and character had to be whipped into them. Amen. And I watched it. And of course, I prayed for them. I didn't cheer it on. I prayed for them. Yeah, right. And it was whipped into me. Amen. I wasn't so thankful back then, but I'm absolutely thankful for it now. And I do understand that, listen, train up a child in the way he should go, because the way he should go and the way he would go, one preacher said it this way, heaven and hell are not more far apart than that.
Wow.
And that is far apart. But we are to grow. Listen, we are to add to our faith Christ-like character. You know, a Christian starts by being born again, by being saved, putting his faith and trust in Christ. And then he grows. Watch. Character, let me switch gears here. Character, if you look it up in the Webster's 1828, the purest and most simplest definition of character is this: your typical behavior. Your typical behavior. Watch, not your occasional behavior, not your exceptional behavior, but your typical behavior. Who you are day in and day out. Who you are when nobody's looking. Would you agree with me that probably most Christians are more Christian on Sunday than they are from Monday through Saturday? You'd have to agree with that. Because a lot of times growing up in church, we know how to play the game.
Yes, sir.
But listen, who you are at a gas station, who you are when you're on vacation, it's not your behavior here necessarily, but it's who you are at any time, at any day of the week, who you really are.
Yeah.
That is who you are. That is your character.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would, real quickly to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, watch. The Bible gives the emphasis. The Bible explains it. 2 Peter, and that's almost all the way back to where we were. So you can go back to 1 John, then back up a little. 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now watch. It is somebody that is a partaker of the divine nature. That means it's somebody that is saved, somebody that is born again. Again, a child has a nature, but a child must grow and add character. If we had a five-year-old here, and then he grew up the next 10 years, and he never changed in character, we would clearly be able to identify there is something wrong here.
Yeah.
And we are born with a nature, a new nature, a divine nature. Watch, and therefore the Bible says in verse 5, watch, "And besides this, giving most of your diligence," is that what it says?
No.
"Giving almost all of your diligence," no. It says giving all diligence, "add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Watch. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make ye that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we understand these things and characteristics that we are to add to our life and our faith, watch, are the very characteristics of Christ. I asked a college group I was preaching to one time, of these characteristics are the words that we just read here, which word would you consider the most important? And some answered knowledge, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness. And I told them this is what I consider the most important word, is the small word "add." Because without "add," there is no character. Let me ask you, how many Christians do you know? You don't have to answer out loud, but how many Christians do you know that are continually developing? Continually. You know, I teach fitness classes. The Bible says about Paul, as his manner was, he would go to the, where first?
Synagogue.
Preach. There where the people were. Yeah. And I go to where there's a lot of people. And I teach some fitness classes. I do that to just get contacts, to rub shoulders with people and so forth like that. But I'll tell oftentimes people in my class, I'll say, "I really don't care where you are in your fitness level. What I'm concerned about is the direction that you're headed. Really, I'm not concerned about your spiritual level, but what I am concerned about is very simply this, the direction that you are going. Because, listen, you can be here and you can be saved for 10 years, 20 years, and you could have just plateaued off. And you're just, listen, you're just here and you're just sitting here, but you're really going nowhere. But really, there is no standstill. Really, you're either going up or you're going down. And you're sliding down thinking, oh, I'm just holding myself while somebody else just got saved and they're moving forward. I told that college class, I said, listen, if you read your Bible, let's say 3 chapters a day. Listen, if you're not careful, you'll view that as the end of your performance. But that never was designed to be the end of your performance. That was designed to be the means to the end of your performance. It was designed so that, listen, not just to read it, close your Bible, make a check, wipe it clean off. That's exactly what James wrote about when he said you looked into the mirror, you walked away, and you forgot what kind of man you really were. But it was designed to be in your heart that you might commune with your Savior and to love Him and to heed Him and to follow Him throughout the whole day. Do you understand that? To develop. Let me ask you this. Let's say you've been saved 10 years. Do you still give in to the same temptations you gave into 3, 5, 8 years ago? Do you still commit the same sins you committed 3, 5, 8 years ago? Or watch. Or has there been any development? Has there been any maturing? Can you say, I don't need milk anymore. I'm eating food and I'm going forward. And Paul came to the church and said, ye still need milk. And once you are moving towards that meat and moving towards eating real food, and now you still need milk. And he got on to him about it. Has there been any development? Somebody might say, well, preacher, you'll never know. And you know that's true. I might never know. I can't see your heart. I don't know who you are in the dark. I don't know your character. But watch, go with me to 2 Corinthians. Go now to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 10, I think. Let me look again here real quick. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, 5:10. Second Corinthians 5:10. This is why this is so important. Second Corinthians 5:10. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now watch, this is a must. It's not optional. You must. And you will. If you're saved, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Somebody says, to do what? Well, this is what will happen. You will appear. Wait. Exactly the way and who you really are. This word appear means to be, listen, literally turned in. Side out. You can hide it here and now, but you won't hide it before the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
You'll appear. Not what you did, but also, hey, why did you do it? Why'd you do it? You know, you can actually do good things, but to be recognized, to be seen.
Yeah.
Watch. And it goes on and it says this, appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now watch. It says that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Somebody says, well, preacher, the things that I did in my body. No. It says... Watch, I'll illustrate. that you will receive the things done in your body according to that ye have done. It's not redundant. He didn't just say, yeah, I think I'll say it twice. No. What he's saying here is simply this. You will receive your rewards in body according to what you did in your earthly body, whether it be good or bad. You'll carry your rewards in body. You see, this isn't some prophecy about Armageddon or some war to come. This is about how you and I will appear for all eternity. This touches us very deeply. You'll carry your rewards in body. Somebody says, I don't understand. Wood, hay, and stubble, that's going to be burned up, and precious stone will remain. Hey, well, let me ask you this. We already determined in the Word of God that the bodies, they are earthly bodies, and they are terrestrial bodies, and there are heavenly bodies, and they're different. You ever read about Lucifer, his body? You ever read about Lucifer and his body? He had precious stone. You see, a snowflake carries in body a record of what it went through. And if you're saved, you'll be in heaven. You'll see other Christians. And immediately you'll be able to tell just what kind of Christian he or she really was. Because now they carry in body a living record of what and how they reacted to the winds and the storms, the trials and the temptations of this life. Not only are the scarred faces, and listen, the disappointed faces of a disobedient Christian, not only are they seen here in this life, but also in eternity. But also the joyful countenance and the peaceful countenance of an obedient Christian is not only seen in this life, but also for all eternity. You see, every road leads to judgment, and your life and my life leads to eternity. I'd like to end this way. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go back to 1 John. You still got that? 1 John? 1 John chapter, 3. Now flip. In my Bible, it's just one page prior. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're almost done. Stay with me. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Listen, and that what the preacher is talking about in Ecclesiastes, all this, listen, and the life that is lived for this life, he said, under the sun from horizon to horizon without God. He said, look, it's vanity. It's nothing. And it's going to be burned up. Watch in verse 11. Seeing then, realizing then, that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So I come to church. How you doing, brother? Good to see you. Holy conversation. Hey, I'm praying for you. Godliness. Man, you're looking sharp.
Thank you.
Looking good. Yeah, let's sing. All this. Well, listen, this is what the Bible says. Who ought ye to really be? Mm-hmm. And you know it. You know it like you know your last name. I'll never forget one time we were on deputation. I was 4 years old. My sister was 2. They put us in Sunday school. Sunday school teacher brought us back to the parents, and she's just laughing. My dad said, oh boy, what did they do? And she said, well, I asked them what their names were, and I said, my name's Seth Richards, and this is my sister Carrie, but I don't know her last name. But listen, in all this stuff, what we do here, who are you really? You can hide it. Listen, you can hide it here and now. Now, oftentimes your life will show it, and the fruits of your life will show it. But before the judgment seat of Christ, it will be revealed. And listen, you will receive it in body. in body. I wrote it down this way. When we die, we will leave behind all that we have and take with us all that we are. The molding hand of God, always about to transform you into the image of His Son. There is nothing that He is more concerned about. The Bible also says this. I want you to listen very carefully. Is there anything that you think would make more of a difference than you and I not only, listen, not only adding to our faith, but also to watch, bring others to righteousness? The Bible, you know this verse, listen. You know this verse. Daniel 12:3, I'll just read it. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, just listen. Paul said, for what is our hope or our joy or our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? You know what they were? Paul says, what is my joy? What is my crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye, you know who they were? His fruit. He had directly or indirectly led these people to the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, at Christ's coming, you know what to make that difference? To have fruit to present at His coming. Not the house. Not that pickup truck you had. No, not all those things. But whether or not you were good ground and fruit abounded. Now you do have missionaries and fruit abounds to your account. Amen. Let me ask you this. Are you a good heart? Who is going to heaven because of you? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Heaven will reveal this. And you'll carry in body who you really are. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this message. We thank You for clear words. Convicting words. We are often so mindful of how we appear, how people see us in this life. And forget eternity. Forget how we'll be, never to be changed forever. Lord, may we realize this life is but a vapor. But what we do now, what we do for Christ, will last. And it will be in our bodies. Speak to us, Lord. Lord, You know every life. You know every heart. You see everyone, how they really are. All things are naked and undone in Your eyes. And You know. And we know. May this be a motivating factor to clean up our lives in Your eyes. Be with the invitation, Lord. May people get things right. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ, Lord, that they might come, we might take the Word of God and show them how they can be saved, how that they can have eternal life. Speak to the hearts, Lord. Draw them. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. If you'd stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. While the music plays, the invitation is open. Who are you really? Let me ask you one thing. Let's say I had the ability, the Lord gave me the ability to go like that, and everybody appeared how they really were. How many people actually want to be here? So if the rapture came tonight, or the Lord took you home, and those things happen, and we're reminded of it this week, those things happen. Listen, if the Lord took you today, how would you appear? what would you look like? Maybe you need to come. Altar's open. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, help me to get my life on track. Lord, help me to add to my faith. Help me to be more like you. Would you come tonight? Go ahead.
Page 215. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art.
Who are you really? How would you appear? Never to be changed. Are you a soul winner? Is there fruit you could present at His coming? Verse 3 says this, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is purified. John says, let this be a motivating factor to clean up your life. Now. One day you'll receive your rewards in bondage. Never to be changed.
Faithfulness in the Word of God this evening. Thank you, folks, for being here tonight. And not much use having a missions conference if you aren't here. So we're grateful for those who have been faithful last night, tonight. Remember tomorrow night as well, and Saturday morning. It's always a good time that Saturday morning. We enjoy breakfast together, something from the Word of God together. So please, I'll be in your place Saturday morning as well. Did want to share with you that Irene Yeo didn't survive her injuries in the car accident. And the family had got word there that she entered glory. So please pray for Kirsten, the children, Kirsten's family, Irene's family back in Tennessee. So please pray for all them and as they deal with this tragedy this evening. Her niece was injured in the accident, but nothing serious. Irene took the brunt of the injuries. So please pray for that dear family. We're grateful for God's mercy, and she's enjoying glory. Amen. We wouldn't want her to come back to this mess. Father, we love you tonight, and we are grateful that we can commend our loved ones to you. We pray for Kirsten. We pray for each of the children. Father, I know how close they were to Miss Irene. Lord, please, as I was thinking earlier that day when they climbed off that old church bus for the first time and entered the doors of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And so, Lord, thankful that they're here with us this evening as they got this news. We can love them and support them and please, please, Lord, do for them. Help them all through this. Pray, Father, for Irene's family there in Tennessee as well. Pray you'd minister to them. And, Lord, I want to thank you again for your word this evening. Thank you for Brother Richard's faithfully preaching this evening. I'm thankful, Father, that you'd be pleased to give us what we need at any given time. Help us. Lord, is my own heart convicted that certainly, certainly, we want to be those believers, those Christians that you would have us to be. That we would, Father, shine in this crazy world not for ourselves, not even for this church, but for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ and you, our Father. We love you. Thank you again for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother John, would you come, please?
Let's sing our chorus, A Soul Winner for Jesus.
A soul winner for Jesus.